frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits, making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Barniston, he is the Pyramid.
Margaret, the Fiend coming out. You stick on, stick that big red light bulb on for the Fiend.
And his partner, Feta Tappender Stevenson.
Honky Tonk Man's going to take the bump for this. He's going to bump for it. I'ma take the bump for you. I'ma take the bump for you.
Hello and welcome back to Wrestling Daft. We are a wrestling podcast and we are a fan-supported wrestling podcast. That's a very, very significant thing. My name's Rab Florence and Grado is the main man sitting beside me here. This is our podcast, ours and yours. That's the way I'd like to refer to it for new one. How you doing, Grado?
Ours and yours has got a great wee ring to it, innit?
Ours and yours is good, innit?
Ours and yours.
Wrestling Daft, ours and yours.
Ours and yours. Right, first of all, guys, thanks very much for keeping us alive.
Oh, aye, we've got to say that, haven't we? Aye. It was a beautiful wedding gift, because I get married. I'm a married man now. If you're watching this in the video version, you'll be able to see my gold wedding ring, which was 50,000 quid. But thanks very much for the all the Patreon backing to keep us going, because we wouldn't be able to keep going if it wasn't for yous. There's my 50 grand ring there.
Aye.
But we wouldn't be able to, we wouldn't have survived. We're really kind of, our industries have shut down. We're kind of struggling at the minute, aren't we, Grado? So it's good to get that support for you guys. That's my 50 grand ring. Let's see,
50 grand ring. But anyway, you got married, Rob. It was good to hear.
I got married. It was lovely. And Grado, you got my invite, didn't you, to the stream?
Aye, to the stream, mate.
Aye, to the stream. Just to let everybody know out there, you're only allowed 20 people at your wedding now, and that includes a photographer. If you've got a photographer, it includes your celebrant. Who's day in the wedding, you're only allowed 20 people at it. So what we did was we set up a video stream and we streamed it. So we sent it out to like our family and our closest friends. No, everybody, by the way, our closest friends get invited to watch the stream because it's a very, very private thing. Grado did, of course, get invited to watch the stream. What happened, Grado?
Well, first of all, like I knew you were getting married and I thought, well, he's getting married out his back door. I was like, so you'll know... You know, invite me. I goes, that's definitely out the kind of question. But then on the Sunday night before you got married, you sent me a WhatsApp with this beautiful, lovely, flowery invite. And of course, I was like, what? I'm actually going to this fucking, I'm going to Rab's wedding. So I'm telling Stephanie, you've got a wedding on Saturday. You are invited to the wedding. Get a frock, get the nicest frock. I'm going to look at suits because all the suits don't fit me anymore. She's like, this is a bit last minute. I'm like, it doesn't matter, mate. Because like Greg Hemphill could be there and that. And then, so the next day I was on the radio and I was just about to tell folk, well, I've got a wedding on Saturday. And just as I pulled up for the details and looked at the invite, I fucking finally clicked on it. Said, you're invited to the wedding stream. So
I'm amazed.
I cancelled my suits. I cancelled my £600 suit. Stephanie cancelled her £800 frock. The fucking stream.
Thanks to the patrons for supporting us, by the way. We're needing that money. My 50 grand ring. By the way, my ring's for fucking H. Samuel, by the way, right? It's no fucking 50 grand ring, let me tell you that. You were fucking near it. It's an H. Samuel fucking. It was 140 quid.
But see, by the way, I was like, I do feel like a dafty with this, right? But I miss the stream, I know, because I get ready to watch the stream on a Saturday, and then I realised you needed the link, you needed to RSVP. I thought the link would have been on invite, so I made a arse of everything, mate.
I thought you were so upset at the fact that you weren't among the 20 that were invited, that you thought, fuck that, man, I'm watching that stream, fuck him. And this is the thing, it's like... I hope the listeners realise this shows you how close me and Grado's relationship is, that Grado thinks of the 20 people that me and Jen across our two massive families that we would invite to this wedding, that Grado would be one of them. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
By the way, I've still got your wedding present. Can you give me your address?
No worries, I'll do that. Don't worry about that, mate. I still want a present. People have been... It was really great. People. And then
has anybody else been late with the presents? Because now I feel bad, can I?
Aye, some people had didn't get his anything at all. They'll not be invited to the fucking any other streams. That's right. Or have any other weigh-ins. We have a weigh-in or something.
And for the streams.
The childbirth. Hold on now. Let's fucking stop a minute. Forget about the listeners. Grado is on the fucking WWE Network. Grado is on... Well, okay, let me put it a different way, right? On the WWE Network, Grado appears in the ring as if by magic. Boom! There he is. No entrance. But he's on the WWE Network, which is amazing. ICW are on the WWE Network, which is a great thing to see these indie promotions on there. Grado, how does that feel?
Ah, fuck the WWE Network. Fuck it.
Controversy creates cash. Get that. Cut that out. Get that uploaded. Grado, what'd you say?
Fuck the WWE Network. Dafties.
Here's what
Look,
I would
I knew
say.
That
right?
was going to happen anyway.
Can we get that on a t-shirt? Can we get that on a t-shirt, Grado?
Do what you want, mate. Aye.
Here's what I would say. Here's what I'm going to say something slightly controversial here, right? I think it's great. See, there's two ways of looking at this, right? It's great on a kind of personal level and like guys I know and stuff like that. And they're on the WWE Network. And that must be so exciting to be able to sit in the living room and put WWE Network on and stick it on. And there you are. You're in the ring. You know, you get like Simon Cassidy, for example, there, who is one of the best in the business all the world, I think. And he's there on the WWE Network and you see him or not. But there is another angle you can take to it, which is... You're a competitor. You're a competitor, and the minute you appear on that WWE Network, you have been consumed by the WWE, you know? So that's another way of looking at it. It's just two ways of looking at it. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean, Grado?
Well, I mean, I was never asked for my permission to be on that. When I signed up to Wrestle9, I said, no, that I'm saying I wouldn't. I don't want it, but we getting a couple of shillings out of that, no?
I don't know, but I'd be interested to see if there was any shillings. See, look, here's the thing.
Just tell what I would say is I'm leaving, but like that staff even mentioned money. I don't even care, right? But they could give us a couple of months for the network for nothing. Send me a wee password for 3 months, right? Then that's 30 bar, right? 30 bar, I'll take 30 bar for that. But I knew that was going to happen because everybody was going, "Oh, what do you think they'll dub their music?" And I was like, "Aye. Don't even do that." I was like, "They won't even take the time because you know what? It's not even the entrance, right? It was the fucking one of the." My favourite ICW moments when Jeff Jarrett gives it from and he's from Stevenson, he's played with my kids, he's played with my wife, I've not played with his wife, but you know what I mean, like that was the fucking magic and it just totally cut it right out and I was just like fuck them, that's hilarious. But that match with Jackie Paul, I haven't even watched it back because I was blown out my fucking arse. I hadn't wrestled in about a year in ICW. I haven't even watched it, man. It's fucking...
It wasn't a great match, mate. I watched it on the network. Right. It wasn't a great...
Maybe we should watch that as a retro review.
No, I don't, but you know what? I know they're going to be putting up another one. They're going to put another event. I can't say what one, just in case they're getting bothered, but that's a better match than one, man. I just, even I seen that and I thought, oh no, because I've messaged Jackie, so that match was jobby, wasn't it? But didn't even date and I'm just rolling about the ring fucking selling. Was there even any moves in it?
Not much, mate. No, I'll be honest with you, there wasn't
no,
much.
No. So that's the thing. It's a cool thing to
you
see.
You watch it, Rob?
It's a cool thing to see. No, I've not watched it. I'm going to watch it. It's a cool thing to see. Because, you know, Dallas would never have dreamed when he started up in Maryhill and stuff like that, that one day he would be featured on a WWE Network. It's amazing. It's an amazing achievement. Again, it's that thing again where it's like, you know, look at how far that company has come. It's like unbelievable stuff, you know what I mean? But also, there's just a wee bit of me that's like, imagine ICW had went...
No.
Fuck off, I'm not going on the WWE Network.
Mate, that'd have been so much cool. Well, I can't say it now, but remember, I've been in ICW for the days where, like, Dallas was in the ring going, this company will only ever charge you a tenner for fucking tickets. Fuck Vince McMahon and all this. You know, that was cooler, but that was a cool thing about it because at the end of the day, mate, I'm ICW and I'm also a TNA boy.
Yeah.
So, but by the way, it was good to see my old friend Joseph Park on the telly the other day. But I'm bamming this up. I'm completely bamming this up. It was good to get exposure. Do you know what I mean? Come on, exposure.
I just think to myself as well, though, I question myself as well, you know, if I had a promotion and a WWE came to me and says, we want to put your promotion on WWE Network, am I really going to say no? You know what I mean? It's like, it's a truth. Fucking test that, and I don't know if that would be. I'm just saying, it's just there's always because you know that's just how the WWE and the WWF have been over the years is they just consume everything, you know what I mean? They're just this fucking monster that consumes everything. And right. So it's always a wee bit of you that's kind of like, oh, no, man. You know what I mean? Because they're just reaching out to you. And that's what they've done with the British scene. With the British scene, they've just kind of got their horns all the tap of oil, you know what I mean? And it now feels like, the whole British scene, feels almost like a subcategory of WWE, you know? Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's just that. That niggles you a wee bit. But having said that, fucking magic. And congratulations, Sora Boys, because you wouldn't be on the WWE network if he's hadn't, you know, just played like absolute fucking champs for the
but
past.
Also, just one more thing, like, I can't, like, because obviously, the last couple of years, I mean, I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty much WWE's putting a bit of money into ICW, so they need a return in some way.
Aye.
You know, the likes of the big Titantrons and stuff like that, like, probably stuff was invested in there, so they need to get their return somehow. But I definitely was good to... I can't wait. I hope there's more, because that match was a shanard. But it was good to... it's good to see, man. Do you know what I mean? But I was in 8 episodes of Liver City, do you know what I mean? So.
Question to you, Grado, right? But, wrestling gets back on its feet in a couple of years, right? After the pandemic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Indie wrestling gets back on its feet. Are you going to keep your entrance theme?
Well,
Have you ever considered to yourself, maybe I should go for something new?
100%. 100%. And do you know what? Like,
because it's caused you trouble, wasn't it?
Mate, it's a pain in the ass. But look, Sandman, remember when you watched One Night Stand 2005 and it was amazing because they paid for Sandman? But then in One Night Stand 2006, when they came out to the Jim Johnson shit, it was like fucking horrific. It gave me a, you know what I mean? It spoiled the whole show. So, see, at the end of the day, I'm made a live audience wrestler. Like, that's me. You need to be there to enjoy it, like, to be with the crowd, because of the reactions that you get in Scotland. It's like, I'm very much focused on being a live match rather than watching it back. It's the same with, like, Caban as well. He always says the same things. Like, a lot of matches don't translate well on DVD and on stream. So I'm more interested in the people that are there on the night. And I suppose I have thought about changing music, but there's just nothing that's as good. The only thing that ever came close to it was that we got a song, and TNA got me a song with my last couple of months, and it's fucking brilliant. But I can't get that either, so I don't know. I mean, bands have always contacted me. Div's always said he tried once on 5-Star Wrestling that he made me a tune, and it's just not the same, mate. It's just,
I know.
I don't. I just want to. It's just warming up with you.
It's good to be back. Grado's just putting his theme on his fucking gramophone here. He's wind up gramophone.
It's coming, mate. Hold on. It'll eventually just start going on. If you maybe just keep talking, then it'll... There we go.
It's all right, isn't it? It's all right. It's all right. Right, now we have done a wee bit of research into the rumour that
Nails... Play the one that I was using to... Get done. I really want to, right? Have I played that on the podcast
You're
before?
Not allowed to mention TNA, mate, anymore. We also did a little research into the rumour that Nails moved to Glasgow and ran a used car lot in the north of the city.
This is from last week. We were talking about wrestling rumours, the best wrestling rumours, and now this popped up last week from one of the listeners.
Right, there's no way that's true, because I'm from the north of the city. I've never heard of this. Unfortunately, it wasn't true, but he did, however, battle Vince McMahon for real or a pay situation. Now, that's true. That's not even a rumour, is it? That's just a fact. We all know that Neil's battled Vince McMahon. Last week, we asked, have you ever seen a wrestling move used in a shoot fight? Here's what you guys had to say. Tartan JK says he once had to put a guy in a Taz mission to get him off Sunday. Didn't let go until he was out.
Have you ever done this before, Rob?
What, used a wrestling move in a shoot fight? Aye. I've never really fought anybody, mate. I don't need to. I've got the gift of the gab.
I put some cunt in the walls of Jericho in Primary 7.
In a real fight?
Aye, in a real fight, aye.
Jesus Christ. That's dead. You just broke his back, mate.
I've also seen a stunner as well in a fight, but I'll let the fans
was
talk.
Was it worked? See, when you put the walls of Jericho on the guy, was it worked, or were you really on it?
I mean, I think he was teasing.
Or did you just end up starting working, kind of? Just 1 minute was a shoot, and then you put on the walls of Jericho, and then you were just working at that point?
I think, no, it was just full intensity, I think, because the guy was teasing me, calling me fat or whatever, and I put him in it. But we all get in trouble, and then like wrestling was banned for the playground type idea.
Right, right. Pablo says he was nearly mugged on a field up Spittle Tongues in Newcastle. Got out of it by kicking him in the balls and giving him a pedigree as he bent out to grab his bruised plums. Legitimately thought I'd killed him as he was spark out. Thankfully, he jumped up and legged it 5 minutes later. See, I wouldn't think a pedigree would even hurt anybody, really.
Oh, no. If
my pedigree,
mate. Oh, I remember the first time I attained a right pedigree. It was with Marty Scurll gave me at Sonosphere. And fucking me, I mean, I just went, I totally didn't protect. Do you know what? Two times the pedigrees hurt me. Once when I never protected my face, and I literally just went, face grin, like nose fucking dented right in, and I was like, dafty. The second time, I never loosened up my arms when he had me in the underhooks. So when he went down, I was like, my shoulders get cracked right in because I never let go to to protect my face again. So a real pedigree be there? Are there, sir?
Oh, Jesus. How would you protect your face like in that situation where your face went and turn it to the side a bit or something?
Just when the time's right, you're meant to fucking pull your arms round and put your palms, slam the mat with your fucking two palms so it's protecting your face.
Yeah, because there's a kind of late release, isn't there?
Triple H
releases late. And then,
because look, have you seen that one with Triple H and Kane when they're in Australia or Saudi Arabia? Kane falls down to his knees and all that. So I was like, I fell off.
Xander says, years ago outside the Cat House, I witnessed one of the bouncers stop a fight when he jumped between the guys and legit rock bottomed one of them to the pavement. The rock bottom is like, you know, that's a good tackle. That's going to take people down legit. Ian, two workmates play fighting in the mid zeros.
Hold on, can I just also say as well, man? Oh, fuck, man. I have rock bottomed somebody in a real fight, but there was a wee guy. I was a bit of an arsehole to him. There was a wee guy called David in maths. And so he's kind of like, I think he called me like a fat bastard again. Sorry, David, getting called fat. And I think I hooked him. I mean, he was like, I was twice the size of him. But I got him up and kind of rock bottomed him onto the table, right? And everybody kind of started laughing. But do you know that way? After it, folk went, he battled you to me. Do you know what I mean? He battled you the day. And I get in fights with my real mates because it was like, he didn't pardon me. Do you know what I mean? He battled you because I gave him the rock bottom.
Ian, two workmates play fighting in the mid-2000s on the shop floor. After a bit of pushing, the sales advisor gored our manager like Rhino through an actual plaster wall. Well, the gaffer has to plead not to be punted. The advisor boasted about it for years after. Richie says a guy in a high school. High school tried a stone cold stunner. Other guy just kind of bent over while he destroyed his own coccyx on the concrete playground. Needless to say, the fight was over at this stage. Willie saw two drunk guys fighting outside the pub years ago, and one hit the other with a shoot DDT on the concrete pavement. Ambulance turned up shortly after. Wasn't he pretty? Daniel says, me, can't remember what the fight was about, but a manager sort of scoop power slam with his arm behind his back. I'd say it was worth the suspension. School, obviously. But I cringe when I think about it now. Maybe no school, maybe his work, suspended for his work. Imagine a guy, you can't be fucking power slamming your work, mate. Mark says he saw a guy do a double arm DDT in a pub in Mintlaw. Death Rollins says a brawl involving rival school, some wee cunt in first year, got rock bottomed onto a wooden bench and broke his collarbone. Oof. Match ended in a DQ after somebody tried to stab somebody in the eye with a big pen. I shat it and watched for the chippy van, but it was compelling viewing. And finally, Andy says he leg dropped a bunch of jabroni marks who didn't know how to work a work when it's a work and then work themselves into a shoot. Marks. If you want to get in touch with us about any of that or just random wrestling related stuff, get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Insta at Wrestling Daft Podcast, just Wrestling Daft on Facebook, or email us oldschoolwrestlingdaft@gmail.com. Now, every week we like to separate the good for the bad in the wrestling, the NWOs for the retributions. Hold on a minute here, John.
Right.
That's too early. It's too early to say that retribution are like bad.
It's been a bit shite, though, hasn't it?
Who's the Retribution? Is that the MVP?
We don't know yet.
No. Retribution are just like...
The SmackDown folk?
Aye, they're like... Oh. Aye. It's just that carry on, right?
How many times have we seen that now? And by the way, knowing, like, in mega recent years, I feel as if that's been done to death. Folk in a mask, jumping up. Has that not been done to death? Come on.
Aye, it has been. That has been. And also, Retribution's a crap name as well, isn't it?
Retribution is a mystery.
No, I mean, it's a crap name. Retribution versus Evolution is going to happen. Ric Flair fighting all the fucking guys. Right, so what do you want to bury and what you want to put over, Grado? No, I've been on my honeymoon, so I haven't been able to catch up with much wrestling. I have, however, there was something I saw. What did I see? I saw something. Remind me. I've been watching. I need to be honest. Can I be honest, everybody? I know this is wrestling daft, but I went away on my honeymoon and I came back and then I had to catch up in the NBA. I had to catch up in the basketball. Right. That was my priority first.
I didn't know you were in that shape.
Yeah, that was my priority first. I had to catch up in the Nets. And then, but now I'm going to catch up in the wrestling. Now I'm unemployed for 6 months. I'm going to be watching a lot of wrestling. Grado, what you want to bury, what you want to put over?
Well, I don't think we spoke about this, but I bought the Talking Shop-a-Mania pay-per-view. And I thought it was great, mate. It was something different. It was hilarious, man. Just the wee kind of, like, Theodore Long was on it, and he's fucking, I'm here to get paid, bitch. It was hilarious, man. What else? There was, like, the Boner Yard match between Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson. It was fucking brilliant. Have you heard anything about this? No.
I've no, but I heard it was really good.
Oh, mate, it was funny. There's a bit as well. You need really need to see it where they do a hot, in this Boner Yard match, right? I can't remember. They kind of double down on each other in a line on this limousine, and it all kind of fades into, like, a kind of, not a dream, but a, like, a kind of last year thing where they done this promo with Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson, and it's set in 2019 where they walk into a hotel room and meet the Young Bucks.
Right.
And they're talking about how their WWE contract's coming up and they're going to sign for AEW, and fucking, I can't remember what happens. It ends up all kicking off, and then I think the Young Bucks super kick Bay for them, and then the Young Bucks go, ah, fuck them, they'll probably end up in TNA anyway. It's brilliant. It's so good. And it was only an hour and a half as well, so it was just out like Gallows' back garden, all these random wrestlers, like fucking D'Lo Brown's there. It was amazing. And then, like, halfway through the matches as well, if anything was shite, they would go, right, this is shite, turn it to something else. It was brilliant.
Excellent. No, I need to check that out. So you're putting that out. I want to bury something. Can I bury something? I don't like what Rusev's been doing since he left. Rusev has
podcasting.
Been doing his podcasting stuff, his YouTube and stuff, TikToks with Lana and stuff like that. I feel it's no for me. Like, I really think Rusev has got, like, unbelievable potential, you know what I mean? Like, he should be right up the top of the pecking order in a company and stuff like that. And I know he's just, like, it's a different time and he's just having fun with his wife and stuff like that. And I'm all for that. I'm all for having fun with your wife. But I just think he has to be careful. I kind of feel like, I'm going to go further into something here, right? But I kind of feel like, you know how everybody's using Twitch now, right? And everybody's doing Twitch. And I started doing a wee bit of Twitch stuff. And all, I just fucking hate it, man. I just, like, it's just no for me. It just feels so kind of disposable and naff. I just don't like it.
What are you doing it, Rab?
I just can't. I'm not doing it now. I can't
do it. Just
play
the computer.
I just can't do it. It just feels like.
You need your computer. Do you need
and
a
Ronda
computer?
Rousey's doing it as well. Ronda Rousey's on, like, come and see me watching this computer, playing this computer game and stuff like that. And Rusev's doing it. And I'm just kind of feeling like, you're fucking blowing your mystique, man. You need to keep mystique. You know what I mean? You need to keep mystique in wrestling. You know what I mean?
Do you know, it's all right for somebody like The Undertaker, who's now on fucking TikTok and stuff like that, right?
Undertaker's
on TikTok, mate.
Is he doing dances and that and singing
that? But in a, like, in a way, like, you're like, you've got so many memories of Undertaker, it doesn't really kind of diminish your memories or his legacy. I suppose it kind of taints a wee bit.
I think it's different with The Undertaker, Grado, because
he's done it.
Because he's took his costume off now. It's almost like he was playing this role, mm-hmm. and the part's finished now, and he's took his costume off. And he's not going to harm any of that by, like, you know, the performance is finished. But I just, like, people that roast it, I just don't like it. Anyway, let's see what the punters are saying. Chris wants to put over WWE for finally trying to think out of the box with Thunderdome. It might be shite, it might be amazing, but at least it's something different at last. And for the first time in months, I'm actually excited to see a show. Now, Thunderdome, for anybody that's listening to this, is WWE have promised they're doing this spectacular new thing with their sets where they're going to have video screens with the fans there and all that. The NBA have been doing that for a month now. having it at the basketball games. You've got these video screens where the audience would be, where the crowd would be normally, and you've got punters in the house watching the show, and you can see their faces and stuff like that, and they can cheer and all that kind of stuff. So I imagine it's going to be like that, maybe on a bigger scale. But aye, it'll be interesting to see. They need to do something. They need to
Is there like examples of how they're going to do it if I type into
Funday? No, there's no. Well,
there's a picture of them constructing it, Gradle, but it is, from what I've heard, it's going to be like an actual dome. But it's not going to be like the NBA Rab. They're actually going to kind of do it in rows almost.
Right.
First look at like WWE Thunderdome. There's something up, John.
Drones flying about and everything, apparently.
Oh, so they're moving completely away from...
Moving a new venue, aye?
Performance centre.
Yeah.
Oh, aye, look at this as a place. Oh, there we go. Aye, they're back in an arena.
I think it's primarily for SummerSlam, right? I think.
No. It's they're filming for the next 2 months. They booked out the Amway Arena in Orlando for the next 2 months.
Amazing. So
they're pretty much there indefinitely until they can get.
You know what's probably bothered the WWE? I'll tell you what's bothered the WWE. It's people like us saying, "Oh well, all the wrestling companies are on equal footing now. It's all the same. It's just a ring and an empty hall. They're on an equal footing now." We're coming to the WWE. Have went, "Fuck that, man. Let's build a fucking Thunderdome. Let's build a fucking big Thunderdome now." Let's see AEW build a fucking Thunderdome. Let's see TNA build a Thunderdome. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Did you say about TNA, mate?
Nothing, mate. I didn't mention TNA, sorry. Chris wants to bury WWE.com cutting Grado's entrance at Shug's house party. Just throw Madonna some money to sort that out as they cut an amazing pop for the crowd. Here's the thing. It's like, I would imagine at some point they're going to get on the WWE network that match with you beating Drew. For that title, I feel as if that's going to be on there at some point, right?
I don't know, because I don't know if I'm allowed to say, but the next pay-per-view that they put up kind of goes, like, it doesn't go back the way, if you know what I mean. Like, that was in 2015.
Right. But I would just imagine at some point, you know what I mean, it's such a kind of, it's quite a significant match for Drew on the indies, you know what I mean?
You can get it on YouTube, as I told on the Wrestling Daft, what was it, when you see the kind of, I'm doing a wee thing for Patreon, talking about my career. And I basically said how, like, I basically made a new fucking YouTube name, like HibsFan91, and uploaded me versus Juice. Like, so folk could see it, because it was always just up on, like, ICW's On Demand. So if you have a look.
No, I mean, I think that's going to go up at some point. But then, I'm pretty sure Madonna's going to say, aye, you can't just pay and use it. I'm pretty sure there might be some kind of clearance thing where Madonna has to approve it as well, and she.
Mate,
just...
honestly, I've been down this road 100 times. I had it with TNA, I had it with World of Sport as well, because I was like, "Hold on a minute, this is ITV. Surely yous have got the library to do this?" And they told me some rule that apparently they couldn't use it. So I mean, there's absolutely 1 million trillion percent no chance that Madonna will ever be on any of my music. Like, it will never be on WWE.
Get a new entrance team.
I know, man, but it's easier said than done. I'm fucking getting old now, and all. Try to change things up, but I'm on, but it's depressing.
But just do it. I mean, just do it.
Well,
as simple as that.
Well, I was going to say, look, open it to listeners, like, what can I use? But there's no point in saying other music, because you need to use their own. They've got, like, that's the thing as well. See, why the ICW, I've got into the WWE music library. So see how when people in NXT are picking their music, they're using it for the same library that ICW wrestlers can pick it for.
Right.
So it's all just like one big massive library. But do you know what? It was used once. Do you know when it was used? It was used on British Bootcamp when they done it on Challenge TV. They actually got the rights for it then. That was the only time. But for live shows, there's some sort of rule. I don't know, man.
Mate. This is the break. This is it. I think we should do it. And let's put it out there to the punters, actually. Here's the thing. Let's put it out to the punters. If Grado's going to have a new entrance team, what do you think? What ideas do you have there? What should be done? What should it be like? What should it sound like? Does it mean that Grado has to change his gimmick a wee bit as well? You just remember, think about the fact that Triple H had that DX music when he was first kind of really kind of rising up as a kind of solo competitor in his own right to the main event, and he had that DX music, and probably Triple H was going, "This DX music is amazing. I'm never dropping this."
That's true, mate.
And then he has the game. You know what I mean? And it was like, you know, and nobody was like, "This is your chance. You make your first appearance in a ring, and you have new music." People will just go with it, I think. People just you're much more than just you have always kind of played yourself down a wee bit, I think, because you've always said, oh, I'm all about my entrance and all that. I'm all about my entrance. It's not true. It's not true. I think you put too much weight on that entrance. It's
maybe I've just got a theory, Rab. I just think that, you know, I don't want to change it in case it messes them up. But you know what? You're probably right. I probably should start thinking about trying to use something that's in a route where I can't actually use it. But it would need to be for that fucking library. It would need to be for that library.
If you went for a year with new music everywhere you wrestled, that would be it. That would be it. People would just accept it.
I know I'm annoying you, right? But I've ever played the other one.
Your TNA one?
Aye, have I done
aye,
it?
Aye, mate. You of sure? course you have.
John, have you seen telling lies?
There is no corner of TNA. There's no corner of TNA you haven't covered.
That's great. I love this. I bet everybody listening to the podcast world are loving this. Hey, we're ready. Right. Shout to the hand, kiss your face, ain't listening.
It sounds like a 90s girl band.
It's brilliant.
It does sound like a woman wrestler's entrance music.
Does it? Shout to the hand, because your face ain't listening.
Was that a rib?
Huh?
Was that a rib?
No, was it? We sat in TGI's, me and Eric Tompkins, and we were going through the library, and that was like the third one I listened to, and I went, that's a fucking peach.
Right, so it was a rib on yourself. You ribbed yourself. Right, Louise, we're doing too much chatting with each other in this episode. Louise wants to put over ICW on the WWE Network. Yep. Although, again, there is that other side yet. Anyway, she wants to bury matches, promo segments getting interrupted on Raw by roster members. For example, Mickey James' first match back was hijacked by Seth Rollins and it took away half the match. Or retribution for hijacking the system when Drew was cutting his promo. Well, I mean, come on now. Come on now. You know what I mean? Seth Rollins, his whole persona fits with interrupting somebody's first match back. You know what I mean? Mark wants to put over Ravy Davies' laugh on last week's show. I'll need to catch up with that. I have to say, one of the upsides of ICW being on the WWE Network, I have to say, it's amazing to think it.
That is one. Do you know what, Rab? You're so right. That is probably that's what I think. That's the best thing for me to come for that is Ravy Davies getting seen, because was it his match with James Storm?
Aye.
Brilliant match. Fucking superb match.
The fact that Ravy Davies can now sit in his house and show his mates and put on the WWE Network, and there he is, man. It's like,
that's class.
How. You know, you tell people you're a wrestler, right? You tell people you're a wrestler, and if people aren't aware of the scene, they can still, there's still that attitude. People can still be a bit kind of like, a wrestler, aye. Fucking stick on the WWE Network, and you're like, there's my match on the WWE Network. That's it, man. You're a local hero. 100%. Ravy Davies a local hero now. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, for all the arguments you can bring to it, like, oh, the WWE are just eating everything up. How can you say no to Ravy Davies being on the WWE Network? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Our patron Stephen, we love you Stephen, wants to bury WWE's handling of the Velveteen Dream situation. This is difficult stuff to cover. On the surface, it looks as though no care has been shown towards the alleged victims, and Triple H came across as a clueless tit when he claimed Dream, this is Stephen saying this, by the way, when he claimed Dream was taken off TV due to injury sustained in a car accident. Sounds like some push I'd make up to take a week off work to play Football Manager. It's clearly for a guy that's done that before, has made up an excuse so he could stay after play Football Manager. Wants to put over the Drew and Orton feud? Yes. That's what I should be putting there, actually. Both guys have been at the top of their game. The promos have been excellent. It's believable that both guys want to better fuck out each other. Drew's been brilliant. Mm-hmm. Drew has been brilliant. Drew has really, really stepped up. And Randy Orton, it amazes me, Randy Orton, because it feels like any time a WWE click their fingers, that Randy Orton can just step up about 10 gears. Do you know what I mean?
And Randy's the best.
He can come back down into the mid-card and just kind of cruise, and then they can go, Randy, we need you again, and he steps up, and he's just, you know what I mean? What a professional man.
You see everybody moaning about Shawn Michaels fucking no-selling the punt kick?
Aye. I mean, it's fucking Shawn Michaels.
I don't know, man.
Shawn Michaels can get up for whatever he wants. He should have fucking nipped up for it.
What about the story that's gone about, and all it's in the Sun and all that, because I think Cornette said, who was it that said it in a podcast that Shawn Michaels used to bully The Rock, and that's how The Rock never worked out? There's John, he's known this evening. What's the story with that?
It was Bret Hart. It was in a podcast saying that The Rock got bullied by Shawn Michaels and Triple H backstage.
Imagine bullying The Rock, man.
I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, I used to listen to, like, when HBK would go on Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast. And Stone Cold would just say to him, you were an asshole.
Aye.
Back in. And Shawn Michaels would go, I was. Mm-hmm. I was an asshole. You know what I mean? I don't think there's any doubt about that. I love Depot. You should go back and listen to Austin talking to Shawn Michaels, because there's something beautiful about it, because it's obviously, you know, you hear Stone Cold kind of saying, I didn't like you. Mm-hmm. Back in. I didn't like
you. Was that the very first Stone Cold?
I didn't like you back in. I didn't like who you were back in. Shawn Michaels was like, I didn't like who I was back in either. You know what I mean? It's like a really beautiful thing about how people can change and stuff like that. So I don't doubt that Shawn Michaels was probably mean to this young guy with all that potential coming in and stuff like that. But Shawn Michaels is a very different guy, you know. So what else is going on? J.S. Todd wants to bury Raw Underground for not including Blackjack alongside the Dancing Girls to make Bender for Futurama's dreams come true. This is such an obscure reference, but I love it. And wants to put over ICW for making it onto the WWE Network and, I guess, Grado too. Our patron Jamie wants to bury Retribution's clusterfuck usage. Makes a mockery of the invasion angle of coming in strong. And wants to put over Samoa Joe being cool as fuck. Almost a replica of when CM Punk had his commentating stint. Samoa Joe's been brilliant, man. He's been brilliant.
Why is he no wrestling?
Don't know. Injury, maybe? Don't know.
I think it was a concussion.
And Jamie wants to put over Drew's promos and backstage bits, intense and entertaining class. The fear that everybody had about Drew, which was that when he becomes a babyface champion, the WWE would do their usual thing of kind of softening him and making him too cheery. No, it hasn't happened. He still seems like a legit hard man, you know what I mean? Which is great. They've done the right thing with him. Roman Reigns must be looking at it going, fucking, why did they not let me do that? You know what I mean?
Do you think they're missing Roman Reigns?
Well, I mean, I miss him. You know what I mean? I love watching Roman Reigns. I don't want to see that. That guy, until this has all blown out, or until there's a vaccine, or I don't want that guy in mixing with anything. You know what I mean?
But you know what?
There's
something kind of a bit of mystique about it as well, because you haven't seen Roman Reigns wrestle in an empty arena.
Brian wants to put over Burniston. If you're no Scottish and have no clue what the boys are always talking about, season 2 and 3 are on Netflix. Turns out it's a good sketch comedy show. Fucking turns out. Of course it does turn out. Wants to bury Netflix for having no season 1. Season 1 is, however, about to be repeated on BBC Scotland. I think, I don't know if that's why there's a Netflix issue. I don't know.
A wee bit of trivia just to put myself over. In the very first scene in series 1, when you go to the buffet, that's right, innit? You can hear me laughing.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Okay. And I'm not going to tell that story. I was going to tell a story, but it's...
Oh, come on, how can you tell us?
There could be legal issues.
All right.
No, I'm only joking. And Ben wants to put over how Ricky Morton took the pile driver from FTR on last week's Dynamite. Best old guy in the business. Best old guy in the business, Ricky Morton. Who has the best old guy in the business? Depends what you mean by old. What age is old?
Ricky Morton's 63.
I think that's old, isn't it?
Well, when do we start considering a wrestler old? This is maybe something for next week. This is 55. A good thing. 55?
Well, look at AJ Styles. Is he not about fucking 52 or something like that?
Randy Savage was pretty much binned when he was, I think he was 42.
Mate. It's like
Vince binned him off when he was 42.
I mean, AJ Styles started at the WWE when he was, 41. And, you remember, back in the day, when Hogan was, 41 and 42, everybody considered him all the hell, and there were all these old guys. Now it's, when they're in their prime.
Hogan looked 42 when he was in his 20s, man. Mm-hmm.
It depends what old is. If old is 50 and above, then it's Dustin Rhodes, for me.
Wow.
Right. Is the best.
Great show.
But if it's 60 and above... Then that's something. Let's get that out to the punters for next week, John. This is interesting, Pater. First of all, first question being is, when are you considered an old wrestler? And the second one is, who's the best? Right? Brilliant. That was brilliant. Andrew wants to put over Randy Orton on his social media. Brilliant. Doesn't he give a shit who he offends or pisses off? The best heel in the game. Randy Orton is at the top of his game, right? He's at the top of his game. He is fit and well. He looks great. He's happy. He's got a beautiful wife. He's happy in his family life. He's loaded. He doesn't need to give a fuck about what anybody thinks.
Oh, it must be brilliant.
I don't give a fuck about what anybody thinks.
Must be brilliant.
Andrew wants to bury Chris Jericho, a bit chunky, and botch that finisher against Orange Cassidy. Oof. Bury HBK for the no-sell of the RKO on punt. Clearly getting involved in the title match at SummerSlam. Is he going to screw Drew? Who screwed Drew? Wants to put over Retribution. Somebody's got to. And I think this is going to be the slow play work that us wrestling fans don't have the time for nowadays. Yeah, let's see how Retribution pans out, John, before you decide to make them the bad thing and the bury and put over, okay?
They all look tiny and odd, didn't they?
Yeah, they do. Now, let's get Mayor Wrestling Daft at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. That's where you get your good stuff. We've got three tiers there. You can choose to get involved. patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. And listen, we need you now because this is where our money comes for. Our money comes for you guys. Tier 1, Cruiserweight Champion, $4 a month. On that, you get Patreon-only chat community, ad-free versions of all the episodes, early access, random bonus content, the video version of the Marks podcast, and voting what you want to see featured in the list of Wrestling Daft.
You know what, I'll add to that as well this week. I'm going to start putting in the show notes so you can see all my fuck-ups in the show notes as well. I'll put that in the tier 1 as well this week.
So you can see what I'm reading every week.
You got a laugh
fucking puzzle. It's like some kind of fucking riddle I'm trying to read every week.
I'll read tier 2 for you. I'm tier 2 Intercontinental Champion, which is $10 a month. You get everything in tier 1 as well as the video version podcast each week. You get a bonus episode once a month. You can get the Rabo and Wrestling episodes up there where I chat how he got into the business and how he ended up promoting his own shows. This week the Marks are going to be doing a preview of SummerSlam and NXT TakeOver 30. And then next Monday the 2nd is going to be the second part of my story, It's Your Cell, as we rise my time in ICW and then my march towards winning the belt against Drew. You can also join our Patreon pay-per-view parties this Monday. The Marks are watching SummerSlam and they might even watch TakeOver Live on Saturday.
Depends how drunk I am.
Tier 3, what you said, mate?
Depends how drunk I am if I'm waiting to watch it on Saturday or not. We'll wait and see.
Aye, you'll need a drink to watch that show, let me tell you. Tier 3 World Heavyweight Champion, which is $20 a month, and you get everything in the previous tiers as well, as well as a free Wrestling Daft t-shirt design of your choice. You must sign up for 3 months. Plus, you get to feature on one of our shows as one of our marks, all day running on this show. So if you fancy that and becoming one of our patrons, as important, please sign up. patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. We would love to welcome you to our roster.
Now I would like to add something here for the tier 2 people, tier 2 and above. I will be doing a review of SummerSlam. It'll be an audio review of SummerSlam, of the matches and stuff like that, which will be available to all you tier 2 people after SummerSlam is done, probably on Monday as well, tier 2 and above. All right, so I'm going to do that stuff because I'll be watching SummerSlam. I'll do a wee review for you, just a wee quick overview of what I thought of the show.
You just made the list.
Now, every week we ask for you guys to vote on a list of Wrestling Daft, and you can do that voting by joining our Patreon. This week we are on the road to the biggest party of this summer. No, it's not my wedding, 20 people at it. It's SummerSlam. So we asked, what do you want to talk about? We asked the punters on Patreon, do you want to talk about the best SummerSlams overall or the best SummerSlam matches? And it was the best matches that won it with 68% of that vote. So first of all, I'm going to do my top three. And
I know what will be your number one.
You know what's all right. We'll see when we get there.
Right, once you get to one, I'm going to say what I think you think it is.
Okay. Right. My number three is from SummerSlam 2000. Let's get straight into that. SummerSlam 2000, what do you think it's going to be, Gredo?
The TLC match.
TLC match. Edge and Christian, Dudley's, Hardys. I'm thinking, Gredo, you love this match.
Love it. Because was that not the very first TLC?
It was. It was a very, very first TLC match.
It was, aye. Tables, ladders and chairs. Oh, my! Tables and ladders and chairs. Oh, my! That was the first... You got hundreds of TLC matches now?
Well, you do get hundreds of them now. You have a pay-per-view named after it. That's how significant that match was, that they ended up naming a pay-per-view after it.
Mm-hmm. Great match.
It's a great match. Three teams just at the absolute peak of their powers. And we kind of just had never seen anything like it before. Do you know what I mean? We'd never
Well, I suppose we did have the was it a ladder match at WrestleMania 2000? That kind of felt like the very first one. But you're right, that was the kind of... I do think TLC 2 was better, but TLC 1 was superb as well.
Aye. But it's a great... It's a great, great match, and it's one I've watched multiple times. I've been happy to watch it again and again and again, you know what I mean? Which, for kind of gimmick matches like that, I'm not as into watching gimmick matches again and again and again as I am just standard wrestling matches, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But for a gimmick match, yes. My number two is from 2001.
Ooh, what could that be, 2001? Let me guess what that would be.
It was smack bang in the middle of the Alliance angle.
Was it?
And oh, it was...
I can't even... Oh, was it The Rock versus Booker T?
Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Kurt Angle.
As our champion, Stone Cold Steve Austin defends that title against Kurt Angle, who so desperately wants to bring the championship home.
And this one all started at Invasion.
SummerSlam 2001, which is a massively underrated match where Stone Cold Steve Austin makes Kurt Angle look like a million billion bucks. It's a fantastic match. It's an absolutely brilliant match. It's got everything. It's got a bit of blood in there. It's got intensity. Stone Cold gives Angle a hell of a beating in it. But it's, I love Kurt Angle and I love Stone Cold and I love everything they did together. I loved all their backstage skits and all that, right? But this is prime Angle, Austin in the ring, two of the best workers that ever worked, and one of the best matches ever, and the second best SummerSlam match ever, because the best SummerSlam match that there has ever been is
there's an obvious answer.
As Grado.
As Bret Hart and Bulldog?
Nope.
Oh, I know what it is. John knows what it is.
John knows what it is.
Is it Mr. Perfect and Bret Hart?
Mr. Perfect and Bret Hart.
Nice block there, that move.
SummerSlam 1991. That's one of the best wrestling matches ever. One of the best wrestling matches ever. I loved Mr. Perfect and I hated Bret Hart. I hated Bret Hart because I loved Mr. Perfect. But that match was just, it was awesome stuff. You know what I mean? There was kicking out of finishers. There was, you know, it was way ahead of its time, it felt like. You watch that match today, I challenge everybody out there to just watch that match again and see too the athleticism of these guys. Mr. Perfect, just, again, it's that thing. It's like, obviously Bret Hart is amazing, right? Bret Hart is amazing and Mr. Perfect is amazing, but Mr. Perfect makes Bret Hart look like a superhuman in this. You know what I mean? The way Perfect sells for him, the way it's just total intensity, and you genuinely believe all the way through this match, it can go either way. You're completely invested in it, you know what I mean? And the finish is brilliant. It's the best SummerSlam match of all time, and it just feels, it has a SummerSlam feel to it as well. Like, when I think of SummerSlam, it just, I don't know if it was because I was a wee guy and it was like SummerSlam and it was Hart and Perfect and it feels sunny and it feels bright and they're colourful characters, do you know what I mean? But I just kind of see past it.
And do you know what, that's funny, because probably my favourite SummerSlam match is, again, it was in 2002, and I think it was just, I don't know, I know what you mean by that, how everything's bright and Kurt Angle versus Rey Mysterio, when it opened to SummerSlam 2002, I was daft for that, because was that not maybe like in Rey Mysterio's first couple of weeks in WWE, and it was an opener and the crowd were fucking loud and it had everything in it, the Kurt Angle versus Rey Mysterio match. I love see matches like that where it's like the kind of wee guy versus a big guy, and this was like Rey Mysterio's first ever kind of, because I hadn't ever really seen that before, because he'd always just be with other cruiserweights. And it was interesting to see how he'd got on with like a heavyweight. And it was just superb, man. I loved that match.
But also, it's just, Kurt Angle's unreal, man.
Yes.
Kurt Angle was just What a wrestler, man. Let's see what the pump. What a wrestler. Tommy says HBK versus Triple H 2002, the unsanctioned match. Brutal. The blood, the sweat. Wee Errol challenging the game to a square go during the fight. Then HBK gave him a wee kiss on the head at the end. Brilliant fight. That is a brilliant match. Mm-hmm. Great. That's a great pick. Bobby, The Rock versus Triple H ladder match for 98. Shows how to have a great ladder match without all the high spots and flip and flops. Yep. Elevated The Rock's career to main event status. Quite right, after all the bullying that Triple H had been. Calzo says, as a kid, I bloody loved the Luger and Yokozuna match at SummerSlam 93. That's a pick, isn't it? Right. Obviously, looking back at it now, it was another shit show with Luger winning the match via countout, so he didn't get the belt, but who gives a fuck? It's wrestling and it's daft.
Love it.
It's wrestling and it's daft. There's a T-shirt. Pablo, Mr. Perfect at 91. There you go. Owen Hart in the cage in 94. Oh my God. I completely forgot about that, Owen Hart in the cage. Mm-hmm. And Hart Foundation versus Brainbusters in 89 were superb matches. So Hitman involved all across there. More recently, Daniel Bryan versus Cena in 2013 was a great match with a horrible but very predictable twist at the end. That is a
Muhammad
great
match. Dragging Muhammad then.
Orton cashed in, won the WWE title.
Ah, and right. And that's okay, it.
Fraser says Bret Hart versus Owen Hart in the cage at SummerSlam 94 is my favourite match of all time. It's a brilliant, I'd completely forgotten about that match, and that's an incredible match. Huh? Mm-hmm. SummerSlam has had a lot of good matches. You know what I mean? There's been a lot of good SummerSlam matches. Sandy says, I want to be different as always and go for a couple of forgotten classics. Kurt Angle versus Rey Mysterio, 2002. Just phenomenal. Leading on to my second was AJ Styles versus John Cena at 2016. Bell to bell action. Cena was brilliant in his efforts to get AJ looking like a world beer. Styles getting the biggest victory in his career to date. Catapulting AJ into the main event full time. Set up to the run to Styles winning the WWE title. Instant classics. Good. Sean says, Perfect Heart, SummerSlam 91, pure gold. Golden era stuff. Dean, tables, ladders and chairs one.
Oh my.
Both in my list. Paul, underrated SummerSlam match and segment, Brett versus Lawler. Lawler coming out in crutches saying he'd been in a car crash. And declaring Brett would take on his court jester, Doink. Then it coming out, Owen played a rib on Bruce Hart and got Doink to throw a bucket of water on him. He looked fucking raging. It was so funny. He looked raging. He was raging. You should have seen his face. You should fucking see his face. Scott says Brock versus Rock.
Good show.
Ross says Orton versus Benoit, 2004.
Oh, that was a great match. I loved that. Was that not the same year that my best mate...
Sorry, we're not allowed to talk about it. We're not allowed to talk about it, so it doesn't exist. Oh, Anthony says, Bulldog versus Brett, SummerSlam 92. What an amazing roller coaster of a match. Brian, lots of love for Guerrero versus Mysterio ladder match at 05.
Mm-hmm. Pappy.
Oh, Pappy. That period.
Aye, and Pappy's gone out. Is Pappy no wrestling in fucking England next week? No Pappy. What do you call him? Dominic? But
Dominic, aye. Wrestling Seth Rollins.
He's SummerSlam, aye?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thomas, my favourite SummerSlam match was Triple H versus The Rock SummerSlam 98 ladder match. Underrated, doesn't get many mentions. If memory serves, Triple H fucked his knee and I don't think he ever defended the title before it was stripped from due to the injury. And Keith says one of my earliest memories of wrestling was the Texas Tornado beating Mr. Perfect at SummerSlam 1990. We don't talk about that one. The Texas Tornado action figure is going to be one of the best, but spinning around to do the Tornado Punch. Probably considered to be a crap finishing move, but class when you were a wee guy. I love that finishing, by the way.
I don't think I've seen this match.
But do you love that finishing move, the Tornado Punch?
Aye. Mm-hmm.
It's good, isn't it?
It's brilliant, mate. I might use it.
The full SummerSlam 98 card was amazing. The Rock versus Triple H ladder match in particular. And Mark says Brett versus Bulldog at Wembley. Made even Bulldog. Better because Bulldog, big Bulldog, was supposed to be just half a crack bender. And Brett had to carry him through the match, man.
I love it. See, when guys...
What a guy, man.
I've spoke about this before, about how my mate at school, Big Dave, used to see Mr. Arson Friday night. See Mr. Arse, when he was talking about Billy Gunn. I fucking love that Mr. Arse, man. He's brilliant. Oh, Rab, have you tried your Harry's shaving set yet?
Well, it might look, if you're watching the video version of this, like I haven't tried it. Believe me, I have. My hair grows fast, and my facial hair grows fast. Hair oil in my body grows fast, actually. I grow quite a lot of hair. That is luxury stuff, mate.
I actually get excited to shaving now because the smell of that shaving foam. I've got a wee bit of a kind of... I'm kind of looking a bit dirty today, man, and after this is finished, I'm going up the stairs and I'm going to get my Harry's wee kind of set out and I'm going to slap on that foam and shave away, because I'm telling you, see the glide? At least my face as smooth as a baby's body. And in comparison to past shaves, man, there's no discomfort. The foam smell is amazing, man. And see that textural grip of the razor and your horn? I'm not even bamming you up. I actually love shaving now.
That is a luxury foam, mate. You know, see his forms go. See his forms go. That is a luxury form.
Have I told you about Jeff and Andy?
No, well, before you go on to Jeff and Andy, I want to hear about Jeff and Andy, obviously. You know what I mean? But I want to say something. It says on the Harry's packaging, do not use the razor to shave your head. It says that. Don't use the razor to shave your head. It's for shaving your face. Don't use it to shave your head. But see, after shaving my face, I was like, I so want to shave my head with this, because this razor is so good. How can I not be shaving my baldy head with this razor? And I resisted, because I wanted to do what Jeff and Andy tell me. But I would be curious to know for Jeff and Andy why I'm not allowed to shave my head with it, because I want to shave my entire body. I want to be going about like a young, you know, you get the wee baby animals get born and they've got no hair on their body, they're completely hairless. That's the way I want to be crawling about my house if they're using these razors.
Well, see, at the end of the day, right, Jeff and Andy, man, they were just like me and you, they're fed up with kind of like the overpriced razors, and they said to themselves, let's start Harry's, man, let's fix this situation. Harry Kent, there was only one way to ensure quality, so they bought their own factory, just like that. Oh, and Jeff and Andy just went out, bought a factory, and they started Harry's Shaving. Basically, they took less profit because Harry offers a great quality product for a fair price. That's how well Jeff and Andy are. They're doing great for us. They're amazing quality blades. They're almost half the price of the five leading brands. By the way, I had a subscription on Amazon with another shaving company, which was binned for Harry's, because Harry's includes everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. They've got a weighted ergonomic handle. They've got five precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip, and a trimmer blade. It's got a rich, lathering shave gel. And also, if you're out travelling about, they've got a wee travel blade cover just to save any accidents.
Well, you need a cover if you're travelling about. You can't be just shoving the razor in your pocket. I've learned from that mistake in the past. Here's what I really respect about Jeff and Andy as well. They obviously couldn't decide whether to call the company Jeff's or Andy's. They went, we'll just call it Harry's. We'll just take a third name out of the ether and we'll just call it that. And that's the kind of guys there. You know what I mean? They're always thinking about
how inspiring is it that they just went out, bought a factory, started up a raising company, and get this, you can buy a trial set for £3.95. I repeat, free. But this isn't it. I'm telling you, we're not lying here. This is real. £3.95.
No, the trial set, by the way, right, has got that foam in it. That foam comes in that trial set, and you need to experience that foam. Support our podcast and get your trial set delivered to you, including a razor handle, five-blade cartridge, foam and shave gel, luxury shave gel, and a travel blade cover so you don't cut up your thighs by going to harrys.com/wrestlingdaft. Right now, that's harrys.com/wrestlingdaft. And I can't stress this strongly enough. Do not use any backslashes. It's that point in the show when we jump the time machine and head back to the past to look at a pay-per-view for days gone by. Last week, Tom Campbell for Cultaholic. Really? Told you to watch Backlash 2000? Or did he? If Tom Campbell for Cultaholic told you to jump off a bridge, would you do that as well? Here are your thoughts. Paul says, I totally remember watching this on Channel 4 back in the day, edited to shit on tape delay. I remember the cut to the crowd when the Dudleys put Trish through a table. I used to hate that. Remember they used to freeze frame as well sometimes. Aye. When people get hit hangs, they'd freeze it.
Yeah, can I just say
black and white?
See,
when people bled?
Sorry, mate, I'm cutting you off there. Sorry, how dare I? See, Backlash 2000, probably one of my favourite ever pay-per-views, because I was obsessed with them, but see Rock winning the title and Austin coming out as a wee guy. I mean, I woke the full house up at fucking 5 bells in the morning, up for school at 8, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I was gone absolutely nuts for Backlash. Backlash is superb. I totally forgot it was on, fully forgot it was on Channel 4. But and also what I loved about that is the swinging fucking Hingleys, remember them?
The big...
Remember the set?
Yeah, the big them.
Aye, remember them, man.
Pendulums.
Aye, the big pendulums. Because I remember being out one night and seeing somebody that fucking chewing the face off himself, and I was going, you're fucking jaw swinging like the Backlash to the set. I thought that was good for me.
That was a good one. That was a good one. So good you remembered it a decade later. John says, was definitely, it's not you, John, is it? It's a listener called John. No. John said, was definitely one of the best pay-per-views of that year. Then Dean Malenko and Scotty had a great match for a title that didn't mean a lot. six-man hardcore match was fun. Then the main event, that pop for Stone Cold was one of the best. Robert, not me, said the set was awesome. I miss those days with different sets for each pay-per-view. These days, everything looks the same, so it's much more forgettable. I still remember Matt Hardy's, yes, Matt, for once, dive from the superstructure.
Aye.
So what's going to be next, Grado? What are we going to watch?
Right, what should we watch? I think we should watch... Let's watch the first ever pay-per-view after Turner Broadcasting, both Jim Crockett Promotions, which eventually became WCW. Let's watch Starrcade 88. Rick Steiner's, Barry Windham's on there, Flair and Luger, the main event. Let's go back and watch
Let's
that.
Let's do it. Starrcade 88, I'm all for that, mate. That's, so that's a year after Chi-Town Heat, right?
Chi-Town Rumble was in 89, I'm sure. That was like... I think that was the first pay-per-view that year.
I'm sure Chi-Town was 87.
I'm sure it was 89, Flair and Steamboat. Hold on. If it's the same main event, Flair, Steamboat, I'm sure it was 89. Flair, Steamboat, Chi-Town Rumble.
Oh, you're right. Hold on, you're right. 89. You're right. I'm hanging a Chi-Town Heat.
I'm hanging a Chi-Town Rumble, sorry, mate.
That's not this man, a couple of gold strobs.
Goodness.
I know. That's it for this week's show, folk. Please, folk, as if I was one person listening. Thanks for listening, folk. That's it for this week's show. Please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple or get us wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, we now go twice a week. So you can catch us on a Friday and you get the Marks podcast on a Tuesday as well. And this week, they've got an interview with Enzo Amore.
Oh, my God. God, that's got to be amazing.
I know, he was all right, he was good chat.
What is he doing?
What was
the biggest guy in the room. Doom, the biggest dude in the room.
How is that wee arsehole?
He's a very controversial character, but he was all right. Gary spoke to him and talked about Vince, talked about Big Cass, talked about the fact he was defending the Cruiserweight title, well, potentially on the Indies as well. He was involved in Talk of Shop and Mania as well, Grado.
Aye, he was in that. He was funny on that. He was funny, actually. He was really funny on that. He'd just go out there and talk and say any old shite. He was like, I'm going on my time, don't give a fuck. Well, I don't know what I'm here for. This is low
some money. What a waste, though, that guy, because he was
a star, going to be.
Yeah, what a waste, man. What a waste.
Listener of the week, you got to pick a listener of the week.
Oh, listener of the week has got to be...
It's got to be one of the guys that did a shoot wrestling movie.
No, I'm going to do this for Grado. This is for Grado, right? There was a guy who gave us this feedback, right? A listener who gave us this feedback. It was Paul. And he says, I want to put over TNA original Joseph Park from Park, making his SmackDown on-screen debut. So I think we should make Paul listener of the week for being on brand and supporting Grado and Grado's pal. Mm-hmm. So I think we should make Paul listener of the week. Are we good with that, Grado?
Listen, I was so emotional to see a representative from Park on SmackDown. To see Big Josie Boy back in their screens, up there with AJ Styles. What a fun little spot. A TNA original. Thank you, Paul, because that was a beautiful, beautiful moment to watch back, to see Park being represented on SmackDown. That's my former place of work when I worked in TNA. All right.
Okay. Also, remember to get on our Patreon, because we really need you. Patreon.com/WrestlingDaft, and please spread the word. Get your pals on it as well. Let's try and make these kind of pay-per-view watching parties not a wee bit more fun. Let's get a bunch on there. Get more money into me and Grado's pockets. Because we'd like to be able to just buy our end raiders, really, ideally. Check out the video version on Patreon, of course, and why not buy yourself a t-shirt? shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. It's been a pleasure, Grado. It's great to be back.
Brilliant. I'm just going to be up to give myself a wee shave, and then I'm going to get started on Chi-Town. Oh, no. We'll be watching Starrcade 88.
Starrcade 88.
Starrcade 88. Rob, it's been a pleasure speaking to you again. I've missed you. It's been brilliant, and I can't wait for next week already. And thanks to everybody that's been listening and all that shit.
Absolutely. Thanks. And now it's time. It's your cell.
It's your cell. 11.
Audio Frontier.